Blog Talk Radio.
No more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports
and
Death.
And if I may say that the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Thing is on like they always do. Talk about Black Talk Radio. You supposed to go out there anyway. We cool in the place here, guys. Yeah. He's all cool. Good call. What's up? Black Talk Radio? They're crazy. Sad. You do that to me, though. Love to hear his talk.
But not a polar bear.
Everything is used as preaching. So this day, listen to be possible.
Believe
it's kind of about the night picture. Can you imagine? It's called at the studios in the
Well, thanks for joining. Mm-hmm. And we can finally Saturday Sports Talk. Happy birthday, Bill Rush. I'm sorry, second. I'm sorry, the day. Somebody's going to get him out there and all. My new story is about Steve Bruce. Now, there's a guy, too. Yeah. Doing again. The Jazzers, one of the greatest pieces of instrumental music made by anybody. It's amazing. I played that theme song when we were in Brazil. Hello, Rosie. And it was a theme for me being in that beautiful 88 to 90 degrees every day, no humidity weather. My beloved Fortaleza. People back here in New York complaining about the cold. It was also a theme when it was really hot, when we had crazy weather here in New York City in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and supposedly wintertime. And it's apropos, as we, with Miles Davis in the background, are kind of blue. New York City has a blue alert. That's how cold it is. Blue alert. If you don't have to be out, don't go out. If you're out, get in and get out. Concerned about the homeless, concerned about it. About weather here that's going to be crazy. Everything is going to be below zero. Maybe the past. That's my mind because we had the second biggest snowstorm in the history there a couple weeks ago. It's NBA weekend. We'll be part of this show. We're going to get this show together. So as always, as Miles Davis in the background, kind of blue, there's our mode. And kind of blue, that's the blue of New York City. This is Miles Davis. We discovered our man who always lived. Great John Coates. And his great piece of building. In the time, we take time to stop, pay homage, and to God. Take your hats off. Stop walking, stop talking. It's time. It's all the time. Lord, thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your will. Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you for Lord, we thank you. We thank you for food on our table.
Even as you say that I'm back, man, in the heart for you.
The Lord, we ask you as much as what we want for what we need.
We need to be great. We may see Christ, but we have to be special. We may get up off our knees, but we have to be happy. We may be more respectful.
Well, it's NBA weekend, and with that, I got a little pee here. The Golden State are just, wow, rocking and rolling, heading right now to the best NBA weekend in the history of the NBA, and sorry, we'll be defending his three-point championship at the NBA. All-star game. So, we'll repeat What are we talking about today?
Basketball.
What are we talking about, Lucy?
Basketball.
You got to come in a little clearer now. I can't hear you.
Football.
Go ahead, Pete.
So I was about Cam Newton and Super Bowl. You think he should have won that game if, like, Cam Newton and
Pete, okay, that's a little clearer. Are you on speaker or are you speaking directly into the phone?
I think that Cam is, like, I think he should have won that Super Bowl. I think that was a bad loss because the Panthers should have won, in my opinion. They just didn't play the way how they always play.
No, it's a really good point here. And I said part of this show is of Steve Smith. It's amazing. First of all, people understand, Denver made only one of 14 third down conversions. I believe offensively, Carolina had more offense. 16-10 with about, 6 minutes left in the game. But there was a key play in this game, great point to repeat, that people forget. Cowboys catch, which was a catch. Now, I'm befuddled, and it really blows my mind how you have the so-called top officials when you have the video replay and they still blow the call. There was no way in the world that Cowboy did not catch that football. Now, what that does, that changes the whole outcome of the football game, because if he catches the football the first down, and let's do all the scenarios. If Tampa has a score touchdown, okay, so now what happens here is, and that was the case, if Carolina does not score, I mean, it says, okay, first scenario, they don't score. But if they don't score, they also don't fumble the football. So it's still a 3-0 football. Now, if they go down the field and get a field goal, it's a 3-3 football game. If they go down the field and get a touchdown, it's a 7-3 football game. Take away the 7 points away from, then the game was 16-10. You take the 7 points away from Denver, and it's a 16-3 game. And if you give them another 7 points, it's a 23-3 football game. So I also don't understand the mindset of the media to be upset with Cam Newton, who's upset about losing. I mean, he had a great line. You know, if you contend with losing, then you're a loser. And I remember redundantly here, we have inscribed and stated one of the two great lines of the many great lines by Jackie Robinson, the foremost being that life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. And his other classic line, which I remember sitting in Shane Stanton and reading, above all else, I hate to lose. But, you know, shoulda, coulda, beat is one thing. They made too many errors. They gave away 17 points. But, excuse me, I've said this before, the right call at the right time can turn the game around. And that call, and I haven't seen anybody else talking about that, except there was an expert piece done in the New York Times with all the news that's fit to print, where it talked about that call. If Cockery makes that catch, that's the first down, okay, they go down the field. If they don't get a touchdown, they get a field goal. If they just go down the field, they don't fumble the ball, it's still a 3-0 football game. So it's a tremendous point. The people forget about as great as the Denver defense was. And this is the second game back-to-back where the defense carried Denver and also got away, because if that call is made, they lose the football game. The same thing with against New England. If the Pats don't miss that point after kick, they at least take Denver into overtime, and I think there's a good way they would have won that football game. So I mean, the thing that I'm saying here too is that if we don't get the playbook about not wanting to lose, that's crazy. But tremendous point. Carolina, I mean, nobody's talking about the job that Carolina did. It's the second game in a row. In fact, Manning looked worse in this game than he did in the game against New England. So I think it's without question. Go ahead, Lupe. Next question.
Denver's defense was really good. And, like, they were, like, like they were like unstoppable with their defense. Cam Newton and the rest of the team to like open touchdowns. Now, think about it. If Cam Newton played the way how he did in all of the games in the season and how he played in the all of the rest of the games, if he played like that in the Super Bowl, then they would have won it. The score was 10-24 because the Panthers were not on point.
Well, I mean, there's no question that if you played better. But, you know, you bring up a point, too, here that we have to look and review. The defense did a great job. And both games, Denver's did a great job. Both defense played well. You know, Denver, you know, the winning margins, the winning factors in both games with Denver, and you give the defense all the credit in the world. If the New England Patriots do not make the point after, which the Denver defense has nothing to do with, okay, that game against New England and Denver, that's New England wins that game. Again, the defense has nothing to do with the blown call by the defense on the catch by Cosby. If Cosby gets that catch, which he caught, it's a first down for the Panthers. And like I said, if they don't score, they don't fumble, they get 7 points to Denver. They do score, they get a field goal attack, they get a touchdown. They get a touchdown that puts them up. So in both games, as I said, these it wasn't 2 points in both football games. The turning point in the game against New England was the point after kick missed. And what we want to do real quickly here, too, as we do for the month, let's go and get Stevie Wonder to come here. It's Lil Pete with ideas and concepts. Lil Genius, boy. That's our boy, Lil Pete. Don't come any better than that. We say hello to, of course, our number one listener from Volta, Hedonia, and Rosie, and happy birthday to, you know, we got to get that other, you know, whose birthday was it that we missed? We got to get a birthday in here. I think it's their birthday today. Let me see. Hold on again. It was today or yesterday where Rosie's birthday, as you know now, it's almost a month now, the 28th of January. It was her birthday. But she just had her daughter, or was her sister, had a birthday. We also say, look at that birthday real quick for this month. You know, some of the most famous athletes of all time, Babe Ruth's birthday was on the 6th, the day before that, was Hank Aaron's birthday, along with Roberto Alomar. Bill Russell celebrates today, or yesterday. I always thought it was a joke, but it's today. Mayweather and Eddie Murray will celebrate on the 24th. Michael Jordan, Dr. J, and Charles Barkley. What a heck of a team that is. Just those three guys on it alone. Celebrate birthday this month, too. And, wow, that's just remarkable. Also, the first African-American male tennis player to win a Grand Slam, Arthur Ashe, who won the first U.S. Open that was open to both amateurs and professionals, which means, for all intents and purposes, that he won the best U.S. Open as he played against the best amateurs and the best pros. Arthur from Virginia, and as we know, Arthur was just a class act, a renaissance man, a man who did so much inside and outside the game of tennis. And as we know, we have a stadium here in New York named after the late, great Arthur. That's a good friend, though, the voice who brings on Sports in Depth here, Larry Hardesty. Arthur Ashe was a close friend of Larry's. Met Arthur on a couple of occasions. And remember the last time that I saw Arthur, and it was at an affair. And I remember distinctly, I did an interview with Arthur there, and I sent out the magazine. I got to get the black copy. Boys Life magazine. I didn't know they had taken a picture of me interviewing Arthur. And it would be the last time that myself and Larry Hardesty would see the late, great Arthur Ashe as he would expire about 3 or 4 months later as he had some tainted blood that had the AIDS in it and getting the blood transfusion. And, of course, it killed him. But I remember distinctly the last words he said. Talk to you later, Larry, as he was walking in front of me and walking away. We want to say happy birthday to, let me see now, make sure we get it right. today. I think today is Thailand's birthday. Maybe saying it wrong, T-H-A-Y-L-A-N. So happy birthday to her. And happy birthday to Bill Russell. Happy birthday to, again, take a look at Stevie Wonder. Hold on a little, Pete. Let me get Stevie Wonder in here to play a little birthday thing for the background. Let me say happy birthday to everybody here that is celebrating a birthday. And, wow, Black History Month. So it's been a big month with achievements. Yeah, you know, I found out that it was an African-American who was the reason why implemented call waiting and the call forwarding. Stevie Wonder, though. Stevie, come on in. Happy birthday, Mr. Lane. Happy birthday to Bill Russell. Happy birthday, both coming to Dr. J, Charles Barkley, Floyd Mayweather, Michael Jordan. Also to Bill Calhoun from Porto Alegre, Brazil. You remember Arthur Ashe's birthday on the second, and that too of the lady, first lady. Lady A, wife of Chris Sanders, made him one of the biggest companies to make history, and nobody can lose this ring better than she does. And we also, I just said on the 6th, the Babe Ruth's birthday, on the 5th, the day before, Hank Aaron, all-time home run team by a right-handed batter. And Hank Aaron averaged 100 RBIs and 33 home runs a year. Some players, some places. And, of course, we quickly go say, yeah.
Que coisa mais linda, mas cheia de graça. Ela, menina, que linda.
So, Rosie, we say happy birthday to the link, and we thank you for being most supportive. Listen to me, that's very remarkable when you realize that here we are in New York City, somewhere in the world. A listener, and I found out something too that, you know, Rio de Janeiro is also a state of the city. Yeah, all right, so but it's state city. The House did numbers this year, first time ever that a Latin American country has its numbers. Let me set up for that. Also, that Pop Rock Radio, the Touching Dog Network, is going to quick half hour show. Lil Pete,
yeah.
What else is on your mind? Go ahead, Lil Pete, go ahead.
All right, who do you think should win between? Who do you think should win between Hank Lundy and Terrence Crawford?
Harvest, Crawford, no question. I mean, Lundy is, you know, you sound like your dad. And sometimes I think, you know, your dad impersonating Lil Pete. And sometimes I think, you know, your dad is impersonating. Well, Crawford's a better fighter. I mean, I'm going to say this. I've said this before, Lil Pete. And I just love your question. You remind me so much of our beloved brother. In my opinion, there's only three guys who are unbeatable. As a welterweight. And Sugar Ray Leonard also fights as a welterweight. Sugar Ray Robinson as a welterweight, unbeatable. Roberto Duran at 135. And the first Ali. Marion Borges says, you know, you do Ali, you're doing the trilogies. The first Ali, the guy that they stripped. And the second Ali, the guy that came back. The first Ali, unbeatable. Unbeatable. And the record shows it. Nobody beat the first Ali. And nobody could have beat the first Ali. Not Jack Johnson, not Godzilla, not Joe Louis. Nobody would have beat the first Ali. As remarkable as it is, the second Ali, who was not like the first Ali, still beat four of the greatest heavyweights of all time. Beat Patterson. Beat Foreman. Knocked him out. Beat Frazier. Beat Norton. That's the second Ali. The one that wasn't as good. Well, no way as good as the first Ali. Okay, well, close. Okay. Walker Smith Jr., Sugar Ray Robinson's real name, as a welterweight unbeatable. 7 years, he didn't get a shot at the title. 7 years, he didn't get a shot at the title. Unbeatable. Roberto Duran, 135. Lost one fight, a non-title fight against Esteban de Jesus. Did that coming up a car accident. And those three guys, at their best, unbeatable. Now, Sugar Ray Leonard, who beat four of the greatest fighters of all time, Wilfredo Benitez, Roberto Duran, Tommy Hearns, who never should have lost to nobody, and Marvin Hagler. Okay, Ray, if you look at his best, only lost one major fight. That's the first fight to the Ray. Ray won every big fight after that. Beat Benitez to win the welterweight title. Retired Hagler. Beat Tommy Hearns. And the draw, the second fight, let's be real. If that fight goes 15 rounds, Ray Leonard would have knocked out Thurman Hearns again. So those guys, just remarkable. Just unbeatable. So I would say Crawford. You got to take Crawford. It's a tough move. But Crawford is the better person, and without question, the better fighter. So I'm going with Crawford, Lil Pete.
Hey, Doc.
Let me ask you, how long do you guys think, Doc, what's up, guys? It's Mike.
Hey, I know you, baby. Hey. In other words, right now.
Hey, Doc, I got a question.
Go ahead, Lil Pete.
Who do you think is the greatest heavyweight of all time?
Oh, without question, Muhammad Ali, Lil Pete. Without question. The thing that makes Ali...
Do you think that Sugar Ray Robinson is, though? Because Sugar Ray Robinson was, like, 90-0 at one point.
No, yeah, but Pete, you asked me who was the greatest heavyweight of all time. The greatest heavyweight of all time, Muhammad Ali. Now, the greatest fighter of all time, I read a magazine, and it said the top 50 fighters from 1949 on, because 49 was the year that Joe Louis, no longer heavyweight champ. Number one was Sugar Ray Robinson. Number two was Ali. Number three was Duran. See, you know, all of y'all, I saw a documentary a couple weeks ago that had the top 10 fighters of all time, and it included wrestlers, MMA fighters. The number one fighter of all time was Sugar Ray Robinson. I told a guy one night, Arturo Locante, he's from Panama, and we were at the Tavern on the Green, an affair. George Foreman was there. I was just beginning to know George. And I told Arthur Locante that I thought on the right night, that Roberto Duran could beat Sugar Ray Robinson. Arthur Locante is Panamanian. Arthur Locante is one of the top boxing photographers of all time and boxing toys. Locante slammed his glass down in disdain and told me, Stanley, Sugar Ray Robinson would have knocked out Roberto Duran, Tommy Hearns, and Ray Leonard all in the same night. You know, I remember Ali was doing a show, and on the show was getting ready to close, and Ali said, I have to introduce this man. He said, he's my idol. He said, God wouldn't forgive me if I didn't introduce him. It was Sugar Ray Robinson. It's a known fact that there were certain guys that Ray didn't fight. I lean toward Ali I think Ali coming down to 147 with his skills and ability, meaning, and Mikey Goldman, it means his power is going to be enhanced, his speed, and that's remarkable as it was, would be enhanced. I think a Sugar Ray Ali could have been a Sugar Ray Robinson. I mean, Ray lost to some guys, you know, he lost to Cinque Figures, he lost to Camacilio, yeah, but the great heavyweight of all time without question is Ali. And, you know, the thing that I give the edge to Ali fought everybody. It's a known fact, Ray didn't fight everybody. Ray didn't fight Charlie Burley. Never fought Tommy Bell again. You know what I mean? Maybe he's still going to beat him. But Ali fought everybody, and Ali beat some of the greatest fighters ever past his prime. Beat Joe two out of three times. He beat Joe three times. He beat Joe two out of three times past his prime. Beat Norton two out of three. And we lost to Norton. He lost with a broken jaw. Knocked out George Foreman. Leroy even told me a story. My late dear friend, who I miss so dearly, he said he went to the second Ali Norton fight. Ali was in the dressing room, soaking his hand in a bucket of ice. Foreman came in and was leaning over Ali. Ali looked up to Foreman and told him, don't ever fight me because I'll knock you out. So the greatest heavyweight of all time, without question, Muhammad Ali. Too fast, too... The thing that made Ali and Jim Brown the great, Jim Brown's a fullback. These guys were matched up with the speed and mobility of a Porsche. And what can you do? They're as fast as the fastest car, and bigger and the strongest. I mean, so that's the man Ali, the greatest heavyweight of all time. And I think at 147, with his speed and mobility, I mean, maybe he would lose two out of three, but I think he could have beat Ray. But to all the old timers, I'm talking about my late friend Bill Gallagher, my late friend Art Rush Gilbert, all the old timers, you know, they all go by Sugar Ray Robinson. So, you know what I mean? I mean, if I got to be stuck with Sugar Ray Robinson, it's going to be all time. And you know what I'm saying? Sugar Ray Robinson never got stopped. You know, nobody ever stopped Sugar Ray Robinson. Not tonight. Nobody ever knocked out Muhammad Ali either. So, but, Lil Pete, I think
the greatest heavyweight of all time, Muhammad Ali. Pound for pound, they say the greatest fighter of all time. And I tell you this now, pound for pound, I would lean toward Ray Robinson because of the knockout power, all right? Because Ali is funny. In the inception of his career, Ali was predicting the rounds and knocking people out. But, you know, Mike, it just hit me now that a lot of that could have stopped because of the fact that Mike, you know, Ali had hand problems. I mean, it'd be amazing to see what would have happened had he not had the hand problems. Because people don't realize, I mean, there was a time that Ali stopped hitting the heavy bag because of the hand problems. But great heavyweight, Lil Pete, Muhammad Ali. Greatest fighter pound for pound, I got no problem with that.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Doc. Listen, changing gears for a minute. I don't know if you guys heard the news. I wasn't on the show earlier. Did you guys hear about Roy Jones on March 20th? He's fighting one of the fans. They want you to start putting in requests. And I guess they're going to pick from the videos, and then Roy Jones is going to fight one of the fans. And I guess it's $100,000 if you knock him out.
Man, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. We got to switch. I'm going to tell you something in the words of Weston Jr. In the words of Howard Weston Jr. I love Roy. Yeah, I mean, in the words of Howard Weston Jr., sad.
What is he going to do now? You think he's broke? You think he's doing this because he's broke, or do you think he's doing this because he just needs more limelight?
I mean, how much limelight does he need? How much limelight does he need? He's a Hall of Fame fighter. He's considered by one of the best. He's pound for pound the best in the world. I mean, now you're questioning Roy's body. I mean, what's going on here?
I don't know. I think
I'm going to tell you. You want to hear first. I'll tell you about the more things that you hear things here, you don't hear any place else. Not because my people are the best, but they're actually the best. You know, I mean, that's sad and touching. Fighting the fan for $100,000. I mean, well, you know what? Evidently, in that case, it's just a benefit. It's a benefit. Okay. But, you know, wow. Crazy. Great. What is it?
I don't know. It's too bad, you know. You hate to see a guy that was that good, you know, loaner himself to something like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Doc.
You heard the word. And the words how it was. It said, good, Lupit. Sad and touching, GW. Good, Lupit.
What do you think of Chavez? I think that he was a great fighter because of what that fight when the guy was beating him up in, like, 12 rounds, and then he came back with the knockout. I think that was a huge part of history in boxing.
Do you think that was a
really big part of history?
No. I mean, there's two things here. Chavez was a great fighter. I saw a documentary where they had Chavez tied with Roberto Duran as the greatest Latin fighter of all time. Let me tell you this. We've got a close show here. Roberto Duran is the greatest Latin fighter that ever lived. Okay? The greatest Latin fighter that ever lived is Roberto Duran. Okay, Chavez is not in the same class with Duran. Chavez is a great fighter. I remember Don King, when he brought Chavez to HBO, when he had Mike Tyson, DK said HBO told him, you know, we got the engine, we don't need the caboose. As it turns out, Chavez was the guy that carried boxing while Tyson was gone. The fight against Melvin Taylor was a fight of stupidity by Taylor's corner. And I remember watching that film. I remember Fred Bishop, what a great guy he was, and we used to call him Clyde. And look, he was telling me, watching the fight, he says, you know, Chavez winning this fight. He said, but this guy Chavez looked like he just walked around the corner. And I remember the last round when Lou Duva told Melvin Taylor, go out there and get him. And I'm thinking, what? Go out there and get him? Bases loaded. I'm going to throw Willie Mays a fastball, Joe DiMaggio, Mantle. Blondes, they had a fastball? I couldn't believe. And I remember the referee, Richard Steele, said he stopped the fight because when Chavez dropped Taylor, he looked and Duva was coming in the ring. And once his corner entered the ring, he had to stop the fight. Chavez, a great fighter. His son will never be as great as his dad. But that fight was a fight of stupidity and errors by Taylor's corner. And in fact, I have here great segue too, Lil Pete. And I have here in the Trust in God, Sports and Death, Entertainment Artifacts,
Museum. I have an autographed picture of that fight signed by the referee, Taylor and Chavez. But, Lou Pete, that was sheer stupidity on his corner. I don't know how Georgie Benton and them guys didn't tell him to go out there and run and hold the last round. Chavez, great fighter. One of the greatest Latin fighters of all time. But the greatest Latin fighter of all times is Roberto Manos de Pedro, Cholo Duran. Chavez, great fighter, though. Great, great fighter. And great guy. As most fighters are, Lupe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Lupe. Go ahead.
Doc, what? Who do you think is the greatest basketball player of all time, Mike? Do you think it's Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, or, you know, like all those guys that made history?
Well, you know what? And we got to run. You got to go by this. The most championships won by Bill Russell. 11 championships in 13 years. Actually, 12 championships in 13 years, because the one year he didn't play, his team didn't get into the finals. He won two championships coming out of college. So Bill Russell won 13 championships in 15 years. Okay. I think the greatest player to play the game on the laptop. There's no other player to play the game. Now, Chamberlain. Chamberlain averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds one year and did not foul out a game. Never foul out a game. Then there's a guy, and I talk about this, and your ear knows Jordan. And if I'm stuck with Jordan, I can deal with that. But I don't think anybody was more exciting and greater than Julius Erving from the ABA. Unfortunately, he joined the Philadelphia 76ers, and he wouldn't pass the ball to them. I mean, I don't understand his teammates, but I understood the mathematics. And he said, you know, Philly didn't want 30 points from McGinnis. They wanted 20-20 and throwing in Doug Collins, who always showed perfect training for, because he wouldn't pass the ball to Dr. J. I think the greatest all-round player ever played, Bunner and Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson retired from basketball, the second highest score history game and number one in assists, okay? Then the guy who never gets any credit, you know, you throw him in the conversation and you throw him out, is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Here's a guy who played 20 years. Here's a guy who was an all-star 19 times. Here's a guy who won as many world championships as Michael Jordan and won more MVPs than Michael Jordan, scored more points than Michael Jordan, and had a shot that was undefensible. Not to mention three championships in the NCAA, three times MVP in the NCAA. You know, if I'm stuck with Jordan, my vote, I think nobody was better all around Oscar Robertson. Nobody was unstoppable like Jabbar. I think the greatest player, you know what, the three guys I have in the mix, Dr. J from the ABA, wow, 28 points, 10 rebounds a game, Oscar Robertson and Jabbar. And you know what, I don't think Jordan's the greatest of all time. I think Jordan's one of the greatest of all time. I don't think he's the greatest of all time. I think my three is Doc, Jabbar, and Oscar. And there's a lot said for Chamberlain. I mean, he didn't mean he made championship to Russell, but it's a lot said for Chamberlain. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's talking about 50 points and 25 rebounds a game. He's a guy who averaged 20 rebounds a career with Russell. So, you know, I always thought the most exciting, Julius could have been the greatest of all time. If Julius had stayed with the Knicks in New York, unquestioned, unparalleled. But, man, two guys you got to look at as the best of all time, Lou Pete, has got to be Oscar Robertson. 25.7 points a game, lifetime, and Jabbar. Those are the guys. Lou Pete, we got to run, though. We're going to cut the show today. Give me one more question, and we're going to run. Give me one more, Lou Pete.
I'm trying to think. What do you think of do you think that Bill Russell is better than Wilt Chamberlain?
No. I think Russell had a better supporting cast. Ted Williams had a great line. He said, had you taken Bill Russell and put him in Chamberlain's position, and taking Chamberlain and put him in Russell's Taylor could have done the same thing in Boston that Russell did in Boston. Russell was not the offensive player that changed was. And I'm saying Russell had 6 points for 20 times a game. So we're talking about 2 baskets and but no. Chamberlain always got the bitter end of the deal, like Jabbar. I mean, the biggest thing that Jabbar, when he never gets the credit because Jabbar was black and Muslim. The same thing with Russell. I mean, I think if Russell and Chamberlain, if Chamberlain was a white guy and Russell was a black guy, there'd have been a different outset and mindset on Chamberlain. Chamberlain always seems the bad guy. Chamberlain was a guy independent. Chamberlain was a guy that was outspoken. I think Chamberlain, like I said, and Ted Williams had said that too, and Ted's got Boston. Bill Russell could have not done the same things on Chamberlain's team that Chamberlain did, but Chamberlain could have done the same thing on Russell's team that Russell did, as is Jabbar. Jabbar could have done the same. You could have put, I mean, Russell's a great player. Don't get, I mean, anytime you average 20 rebounds a game and 15 points a game and you win 11 champs, but oh, he has a great player too. You look around Russell's case, he had Kuzi for a while, briefly, had Havlicek. You got to give Russell credit too because he had Heinsohn, he had the Nelson, Casey. If you look at his overall cast, he had an outstanding supporting cast. As far as great players outside of Havlicek, they didn't have any other great players. We had great role players, Tommy Heinsohn, Zach Sanders, Casey Jones, the great Sam Jones, another great player. So he had two great players. You know, Chamberlain didn't have the kind of supporting cast. You know, outside of Billy Cunningham, I think it was a lot overrated. But, you know, Russell had, if you look at Hall of Famers, he had Sharman, who was a Hall of Famer. He had Kuzi, who was a Hall of Famer. He had Sam Jones, who was a Hall of Famer. And he had himself. You know, Chamberlain didn't have 4 guys that were Hall of Famers with him on his team at all. At all. So I think, without question, that Bill Russell was second to Lou P, you got it one. We're going to close out the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Lou P here, our little expert, our little genius. So we're going to thank you, Pete. I'm going to close the show, Pete. I think we'll do another one tomorrow. All right. Thanks, Lou P. Marvin Gaye, thanks for waiting for us.
Question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live. Live for life.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children.
Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies.
Well, it's love. It's only that you
understand.
What did this motherfucker do? Because you got me like, what? Blue piece on the back. In a cold blue.
Yeah.
Cold blue. There's a change. You better be in there. You better be in there. What's that? What do you fuck that mean to me? You don't know what the fuck that means to me.
Is this
something? Have all the flowers gone?
they give up. Remember like today? Then we have that.
Well, it's time to say goodbye. And I Hardesty is the one that does it for us. Sports it up.
Black Talk Radio. Go ahead and work. Shall you stay to us? Blue people? Yeah. Question. Larry Hart takes us away. Larry? Yeah. Four. Oh. Oh. Oh, my God. It'll be nice night to be next to you. Used to be the way I pass my time.
All over town and just to see. Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and this is my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hand, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true.
You paid your life, and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all.
Yeah.
Larry Hartenstein from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Let me be a blessed. Just be said. Gonna buy my mom. Let's go.